محمد و آل محمد صلوات.
اللهم صل على محمد و آل محمد.
اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وطبيب نفوسنا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم محمد. صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم لا سيما بقية الله روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء. السلام عليك يا أمير المؤمنين ويا يعصوب الدين يا علي ابن أبي طالب عليان شير خدا شاه عرب الفتی داشته با آن دل شب شب روان مست بلای تو علی جان عالم جان عالم به فدای تو علی 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 صلوات
صلی
علی محمد و آل محمد. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum jami'an wa rahmatullah wa azamallah ujurana wa ujurakum bi musabina bi amir al-mu'minin. On behalf of all of you and my humbleness, allow me to convey our sincere commiseration and condolences to our present Imam, Imam al-Hujjah, ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu al-sharif. Honest Allah Honestly, tonight is not an easy night to talk. It's the night that your heart is driving you. It's the night that, especially as we are sitting here, our dear Imam is bedridden. Tonight when we were having our iftar, now we are comfortably sitting here mourning for Amir al-Mu'mineen. But if you could only imagine that Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali alayhi salam, the poison is spreading more in his body. And already the physician who was living in Kufa had examined the wound and has told Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein and the children of Amir al-Mu'mineen that there is no recovery from this wound anymore, because the sword was so poisoned and the poison has spread. The narration says that the physician brought a white liver and put it on the wound on the head of Amir al-Mu'mineen and checked it, and immediately that white liver turned to yellow something, and that's how in the old days they would examine whether there would be any poison. And he's telling Imam Hassan, ask your father if he has any will to write his will. The issue is the matter of hours. As we are sitting here, only few more hours of the life of Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib is left. So really it's not easy tonight to just come up and talk. It's tonight that for the real lovers and followers of Amir al-Mu'mineen is the night of a great calamity. A catastrophe is about to fall. But Imam Ali alayhi salam has one expectation from us. All his life, in all his sermons, brothers, sisters, lovers of Amir al-Mu'mineen, he has been having one expectation. وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. Make sure that you die but a Muslim. You, your offspring, your children. Make sure that you leave, your heart is pulsing with the love of Amir al-Mu'mineen. And the hearts of your children pulse with the love of Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali alayhi salam. And then inshallah Amir al-Mu'mineen will be our intercessors. The last ayat in Surah Al-Furqan, chapter 25 of the Quran, is what I want to share with you as a message in the last few hours of the life of Amir al-Mu'mineen to all of us. To find him as the best example, and also to, inshallah, learn a lesson in his majlis, to take home, to take to our day-to-day transactions, to put it, inshallah, into practice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these ayat is introducing to us Ibadur Rahman, the slave of the gracious, the most merciful, meaning that the slaves of the Almighty God. Anyone who wants to be Abdullah, Abdur Rahman, not Abdul Dunya, not the slave of his lust or her lust, wants to be the slave of God. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَانِ, the slaves of the gracious, merciful God, they enjoy these characters. See how many of them you enjoy, and there is always room to improve yourselves. And Imam Ali alayhi salam as the role model for all of us as we are commemorating his martyrdom tonight. أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَانِ الذين يمشون على الأرض هونا. The first characteristics of the slave of the gracious is that when they walk on earth, they walk humbly. This is one translation. يمشون, مش means to walk. So according to some riwayat, one meaning of this ayah is that, brother, hey, you are young, mashallah, energetic, strong. As I said it to the boy, six packs, mashallah, you've got muscles. But don't be too proud of your body. Don't walk so like arrogantly, boasting yourself. Because it's just enough for this so-called strong body that one tiny virus that with the naked eye we cannot even see it, knock you down, knock you down. And I have seen these wrestlers, champions, that a tiny virus knocked them down. So Quran says, come down, take it easy. You've got the strength, use your strength for the sake of God. This is one meaning. Another meaning of Ibadur Rahman, alladhina yamshuna ala al-ardi hawnan, mash here also means lifestyle. The slaves of God live the life of a slave. Their lifestyle is like this. Yani in their lifestyle they are not arrogant, and they don't humiliate themselves. They are mutawadi'in, they are humble. There is a difference between humbleness and humiliation. As Muslims, we are not supposed to humiliate ourselves. To go beg and ask others something that you know they may not give. The Rawayat says, don't go to someone asking for money. Brother, can you lend me some money? And you know he's not that type to give you. So you rather humiliated yourself by going to him. Go to someone that there is an expectation that he will give. The other side of the story is also correct. When your Muslim brother comes to you asking you for something, don't humiliate him by saying no to him, by rejecting him. You have humiliated him. That is also not acceptable. As much as it is not acceptable to be arrogant, I'm the man of the house. I dictate the terms at home. She has no right to say anything. I am the provider. God says, Allah yarzuqukum wa iyyahum. God is providing you and your family. The money that you are making, God has sent it to you, portion of it for yourself, portion of it for your family. How dare you say that I am the man of the house, I am Rabbul Bayt, I am the master of the house, I dictate the terms. This is not the attitude of a humble person. Amirul Mu'mineen Ali alayhi salam, he is the commander of the faithful, the leader of the community with that status. Yet, remember I mentioned some nights ago about his character and how he went to the house of that widow baking the bread? I did not finish the story, I kept it for here tonight. Part of what Amirul Mu'mineen used to do, and in the house of that widow, he said, when I came to the house, these children were crying, orphans crying, either out of hunger or because they were fatherless. After baking the bread, he goes and plays with the kids. Excuse me to say, like walking like a sheep, goat, putting the kids, orphans, on his back, and he's making the noise of a goat, making the kids laugh. And he's Amirul Mu'mineen. He doesn't say, well, it doesn't suit my status to do this and to be like this. Amirul Mu'mineen. So humble that he had appointed the judge of the court in his kingdom, in his government, Shurayh Qadi, a Jewish person puts a complaint against Imam Ali to that court. Look at the justice in the system of Amirul Mu'mineen. A minority, a Jew in that community. And in fact, I tell you now that I mentioned, I have to complete the story. He pressed charges, he goes to the court against Imam Ali alayhi salam. Imam Ali goes to the court. Had already trained his delegate, that judge, that when the plaintiff, the mudda'i, and the defendant, they come to the court, no matter who they are, you are not allowed to even give more respect to one side versus another one. Just because he's wealthier, because he's the leader of the community, because he's older, you have to treat them equally, no matter who they are, even if I come to the court. And the judge is bound by the law that Amirul Mu'mineen had imposed him on. Imam Ali and that Jewish person go to the court. Imam says that he has taken my shield. The Jewish guy says, no, it's mine. The judge says that, Ya Ali, do you have any witness, do you have any documentation or something to prove it against him? It happened that Imam didn't have. Does Amirul Mu'mineen need any witness? Law, rules are rules in Islam. The Prophet says that I also rule based on testimony and witnesses. Long story short, the court ruled against Amirul Mu'mineen in his khilafah, in his government, and is the head of the state. And the shield was given back to the Jewish person. The Jewish guy stepped out of the court and still he is not believing it. Is it really true? There is no trick in it. He knows himself that it's not his. But wow, I went to the court and I won the court against Ali ibn Abi Talib, Amirul Mu'mineen. The judge says, you may go, it's yours. We don't have any proof against you. As he stepped out of the court, he came back and said, no, I want to confess. This is Ali ibn Abi Talib's shield. And a leader who is so just like him, so humble to come to the court with me, and I'm a minority in this society of Muslim state. He must be representing the right religion. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Look at the humbleness of Amirul Mu'mineen. He is making his way to go somewhere on a trip. It just happened that a fellow traveler with him, who happened to be a Jewish guy again, they became fellow travelers, started walking, chatting, and until they got to an intersection, Imam continued walking with him, said, brother, didn't you say that you have to go, for example, Kufa is that way? Imam says that, yes, I told you that, but our religion had taught me that we have to, out of respect for this short friendship that we've had, I just accompany you for a while and then I make my way. Isn't this humbleness? This is Islam in practice. Quran in practice. And the narration says that that guy later on found out that that was Amirul Mu'mineen. When he came to Kufa, he gave his testimony of Islam, became Muslim. The Imams of Ahlul Bayt, by their attitude, by their practice, they were attracting people to Islam. This is Imam Ali alayhi salam. Whoever has followed their footstep of humbleness has reached, you know, the highest status. Among our scholars, those who've been very humble, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevated their status. Rahmatullah alayhi, Ayatullah Bahjad, Ayatullah al-Uzma Bahjad, Ridwanullah alayhi. Please dedicate the salawat tonight to his soul. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. This man, if you didn't know him and you would see him in the street, you would think that he is just an ordinary mullah. Perhaps you also would feel that you give him a charity, the way that his dress code, a shabby dress, not knowing that he is the arif, he is a mujtahid, marja. Millions of dollars sometimes perhaps comes and goes, and yet I had witnessed that he is like not even very often, boiling one or two, if he wanted to be generous on himself, boiling two eggs, that was his lunch. So simple kind of lifestyle food. None of you would be able to live in his shabby house. What a humble life. Was invited, there is a majlis, for example, one of the very eminent maraja had passed away, and he goes, as he enters, wherever there is a seat, he just sits right there. Right there. They, as much as they insist, Shaykhuna, you are a marja, we have reserved a seat for you today. Leave me alone here. Leave me alone here. On his gravestone, if you go to Qom, you will see that he did not allow that. I was there even when his Risala Amaliyah was published. I was just about to leave Iran that his Risala Amaliyah was published. First of all, they had to convince him to allow the publication of his Risala out of necessity. And then he says, under condition, you are not allowed to write any title for me. Just Muhammad Taqi Bahjat, full stop. That's the name my parents have given me. Ayatullah al-Uzma, kada, kada, kada. I don't need any of these things. And look at the status Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him. Haj Mullah Hadi Sabzawari, another example. We have many of these among our scholars. His book is still somehow, at least to the time that I was studying so well, and still, his book has been a textbook in Islamic philosophy for the last 150 years or so. A great philosopher, a great Muslim thinker, Mullah Hadi Sabzawari. Mullah in those days, that meant so well learned. Alright? For asceticism, for self-building, because he was from around Mashhad, Sabzawar, he goes to Kerman, in the middle of a desert, goes to a masjid and says that, is there any job for me? They said, what can, and nobody knows who he is, in a normal dress. He says, I'm a good servant, I can sweep well. And with insisting that I don't expect anything, just give me a small room that I can stay there, a shelter above me. I'm here to serve the house of God. And he was employed, and he's an Ayatollah for more than a year, anonymously appears there, and he became the servant of masjid. To become the servant of a masjid is an honorable position, is an honor. And those days, and I see many masajid in Iran, there is a madrasa attached to it. Hawza Ilmiya attached to it. So one day he is sweeping the floor of the masjid. Two sheikhs are sitting. Guess what? They are discussing his book. The book that Mullah Hadi had written in philosophy. A very profound book. I have no time to elaborate. He wrote his book in a poetry style. They said, Shaykhuna, we don't understand it. Can you please write an explanation for it? He wrote an explanation, an explanatory note on it, known as Sharh Manzume. That was the textbook that we were studying. Then they said that even your explanation is explanation. He wrote footnotes for his explanation. This is the man I'm talking to you about. He's sweeping the floor of the masjid and the madrasa. Two sheikhs are reading his book, discussing it. What does he mean by this? And as he's swooping, he passes by and he's noticed that they are dumbfounded. They don't know about, they cannot figure out one point he had mentioned in his book. He says, "Brothers, what is this?" They said, don't worry. This is philosophy. This is a very technical textbook. You do your sweeping." He says, "Can you please read it to me?" They said, and the book is in Arabic, and he was Iranian. "Do you understand? Haji, do you understand Arabic? Just read it to me." One of them read it. Then he says, "Do you think that the author means this?" They looked at him. He made sense. And then he elaborated, and without introducing himself. These two, they say, years later, we went to Sabzawar, the hometown of Ayatollah Mullah Hadi Sabzawari. We noticed that he is on the minbar, he is teaching his book. We realized, wow, this man that we're treating him servant of our masjid, he was an Ayatollah, he was the author of that book. وَمَشْيُهُمُ التَّوَاضُ وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَانَ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنَ. Their lifestyle is humbleness. صلوا على محمد وعلى محمد. I don't have time already in the first character of them. There is at least 10 more to go through. I just picked some of it then in this case. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing the, please read this ayat, the last ayat of Surah Al-Furqan, chapter 25 of the Quran. You read it inshallah for yourself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ibadur Rahman, the activity is dedication to the sake of God, or if they have to work for any. Naitam wa yabituna li rabbihim sujjadan wa qiyama. The night time they spend the nights looking forward to dedicated again for God. At night you see them either standing, namaz shab, sitting, dua, supplications. Dedicating the night time as much as possible for the sake of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that was again obviously the lifestyle of Amir al-Mu'mineen. 1,000 rak'at was one of the common practices of Amir al-Mu'mineen every night. 1,000 rak'at. Imam Zainul Abidin, Sayyid al-Sajidin, the thafanat, that there were blisters on the forehead of Imam Zainul Abidin. So much he prostrated for God. They came to him and said, "Ya Ibn Rasulallah, you are killing yourself. What are you doing? Your father Imam Hussein, your grandfather the Prophet." Imam Zainul Abidin, do you know what he said? He said, "What are you talking to me about worshipping God? Who can worship God in close to how Amir al-Mu'mineen, Imam Ali was worshipping?" Imam Zainul Abidin says that. He said, "I cannot even get close to how Imam Ali was worshipping God." يَبِيْتُونَ لِرَبِّهِمْ سُجَّدًا وَقِيَامًا. And yet, really sometimes I'm thinking that it's a hidden mercy that we are blind about life after death. If we were not blind, we would die of distress, of the agony of what entails about life after death. But Imam Ali alayhi salam, who says, لو كشف القطاع مزددت يقينا, if the curtains of dunya are removed, nothing will be added to the knowledge of Ali ibn Abi Talib. Can you imagine? What a strong statement. Remove dunya from me, I'm in akhirah or in dunya. To me it's the same. Mazdatu yaqeen, and more certainty will not be increased. That's why Quran here says in description of Ibadur Rahman, says, وَالَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا اصْرِفْ عَنَّا عَذَابَ جَهَنَّمْ إِنَّ عَذَابَهَا كَانَ غَرَامًا. When at night he is reading the Akumel, this Akumel, we just read it through finishing, and Imam Ali alayhi salam weeping, crying, reading the Akumel, gets to the part that Imam Ali alayhi salam says, وَهَبْنِي صَبَرْتُ عَلَىٰ عَذَابِكَ. Let's say that I can stand your punishment. فَكَيْفَ أَصْبِرُ عَلَىٰ فِرَاقِكَ. How can I stand being dissociated from you? علامه طباطبایی رحمت الله علیه says that from this phrase of Dua Kumail, you can tell dissociation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more painful. And the torment, the punishment is by far more severe than the hellfire. Than the hellfire. That Imam Ali alayhi salam says, let's say for argument's sake, I could hypothetically speaking, stand the hellfire. How could one possibly stand dissociation from you, being away from you, Ya Allah? Look at the knowledge of the Imam. And then the Imam says that the calamities, the hardship, the disasters in this dunya, as much as they difficult, they sound, قَلِيلٌ مَكْثُوهُ يَسِيرٌ بَقَاءُهُ. They passed, isn't it? They passed. We ask somebody, how are you? He said, I'm happy that it passes, no matter what it is. No matter how tough it is, thanks to God that it will pass. But the hereafter doesn't pass. يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا اصْرِفْ عَنَّا. Oh Allah, deviate the torment of the hellfire from us. إِنَّ عَذَابَهَا كَانَ غَرَامًا. Why deviate it? Why push it away from us? Because the characteristics of the hellfire is غَرَام. غَرَام means a calamity that you cannot get over it. There's no ending for it. Allahu Akbar. Can you imagine? To be in a calamity, in an anguish, that there is no recovery. There is no recovery in it. Quran says, going to hell, there is no recovery from it. Imam alayhi salam at night is weeping, crying. I have only 4 more minutes to finish and inshallah deliver this one small piece of the history of the life of Amirul Mumineen alayhi salam. And pass it to Maulana Abadi, inshallah, to read majlis, inshallah, tonight. We wanted to have majlis in Urdu tonight. It's a very important night, so that everybody can, inshallah, relate. There are two of the companions of Imam Ali. This that I'm telling is narrated from, I'm quoting it from Dhirar, one of them. Another one is Nawf. After the martyrdom of Imam Ali alayhi salam, he had gone to Damascus, to Syria, Sham. Muawiyah summoned him, knowing that Dhirar was one of the close disciples of Ali ibn Abi Talib. Summoned him to his palace. He says, tell me about Ali ibn Abi Talib, that you lived with him. Give me some memory about him. He says, please leave me alone. Insisted, no, you have to tell me something that exclusively you have observed from Ali ibn Abi Talib. Dhirar says that, Ya Muawiyah, you are asking me about Ali ibn Abi Talib. Let me tell you how often I saw him in the darkness of the night, going out of the city, out of the town, in the middle of the palm trees. No one was around, in the darkness of the night. وَهُوَ قَائِمٌ, standing before his creator. يَا قَابِضٌ بِلِحْيَتَيْنِ, holding his holy beard in his dua, in his qunut, and he is saying that, Ya dunya ghurri ghayri, deceive other than Ali ibn Abi Talib, because he is the leader of the community. These positions spoil us ordinary people. Imam Ali alayhi salam holding his beard, crying, and says, go and deceive other than me. I have divorced you 3 times. La raj'ata fiha. It's irrevocable. Weeping and crying. Yatamalmalu tamalmul as-salim. I witness Ali ibn Abi Talib, such a close slave of God to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was painfully crying like someone who is beaten by a snake. Like, imagine a patient who is in severe pain. How he is wailing and crying. Ali ibn Abi Talib standing before his Lord, wailing and crying. يَتَمَلْمَلُ تَمَلْمُلَ السَّلِيمِ. يَقُولُ آه آه مِنْ غِلَّةِ الزَّاتِ وَتُولِ السَّفَارِ. Ah, I have no provision in my hand. And he's Imam al-Muttaqeen, the leader of the pious.
Yet he says, "Min qillat az-zad, Allah, I'm coming to you empty-handed. I have no provision for myself. What a long journey is ahead of me. Oh Allah, unless you have mercy on me, Ya Allah, we cannot." This is our Imam. That's what I told you, that in a sense is a hidden mercy, that you and I, we have no idea what life after death is all about. For Imam Ali, who can see the flame of the fire, that's how he acts. And also on the top of it, as I told you, Imam Ali is the leader of the community. He's wailing, crying for his community as well. Although they have forsaken him, he has not forsaken them. Although they turn away from him so much that he's asking God to take his life, yet he's still praying for them. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.